Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. You all right, Gav?
Yes, I'm very well, John. How are you?
Not too bad. I just wish I could find a Chinese takeaway.
I do too.
Do you know, John Junkin, one of my favourite wits, he once said, if I could live my life over, I'd live it over a decent Chinese takeaway. yes, he said over a decent Chinese restaurant. I love that.
That's brilliant.
If I could live my life over, I'd live it over a decent Chinese restaurant. Anyway, I would do it this moment.
You're making me so hungry now.
I really want a Chinese meal.
I want it bad.
83936, if you could. Oh, God, this is an intro to a podcast.
It's not doesn't live, matter, John. Doesn't it's not matter. Live.
But they can still help me. You never know.
Yes, anytime you know.
Email Big Sai. Tell him. Inundate him with Chinese telephone numbers.
Send us stories of great Chinese meals you've had in the past.
I don't mean send him Chinese. Yeah, send us great stories of a la recherche.
A really good prawn toast. Yeah.
À la recherche de Chinois perdu. Anyway. Hang on.
The lost Chinese.
The lost Chinese. No, just send Sai any Chinese numbers, telephone numbers.
Yeah.
From China. Just get a telephone directory. Just send him loads.
Yeah.
Really, flood his inbox with...
International phone numbers.
With international phone numbers. Coming up, killer mackerel, three Loch Ness sightings and a canny Scottish duke. Yeah, exciting, huh?
Wow.
We've also got the biggest news story in the history of man, something only the Daily Star, needless to say, has the courage to put on the front page.
Okay.
Also, I love a committed, loyal pensioner. I love agile pensioners, first and foremost. That's what I look for.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
When I buy or sell pensioners.
Yeah.
In my pensioner mart. I don't. I do it online. But I love a committed, loyal pensioner as well. Today, you can imagine my delight when the woodman revealed to me that he's got the ultimate stayer, old age stayer, defending the honour of his heroic little slot. Enjoy.
Radio X.
You know, last year, some researchers concluded there was no Loch Ness Monster at all.
Yes, unsurprisingly.
They said there isn't anything. There's nothing. There is nothing. Go home, all of you.
That's right, yeah.
You got those people with those sort of sheds there who just can't even go to the village shop because they think, it might be when I miss. We've been waiting here, me and the missus, for 17 years. And I bet when we go off to get fags...
Let's have a look at that blurry photo again.
You're kidding me? What, the moment they go off to get some bags?
It's so clever because it's such a deep lock that it's impossible to say for sure.
Yeah, it's a deep
that
lock.
That it's not in there.
It's like a shallower one.
Yeah, where you could just look.
I don't know. Are they all deep? I think they're all deep.
Yeah, sure. But it's not, it's not like a shallow lake.
Sure. You actually just shawed me off.
I did.
I like things like things with Loch Ness, things that are really, really big myth. Like... It tends to hang out near that castle. Do you know what I mean? Stuff
is just... It's said to have been seen a lot area.
It's like everyone knows the rules about vampires for some reason.
There's none.
It's like everyone knows the basic ground rules for zombies.
Yes.
If one vaguely tooth catches you, you're a zombie. Same as vampire rules, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And then, I know there's other zombie rules, like that. They move incredibly quickly when you're not watching them.
Right. Otherwise, they stagger very slowly.
Otherwise, they stagger slowly, but unless you turn your back, they'll gain ground.
Yeah.
Amazingly. Yeah. They've got real pace.
They really do, yeah.
Yeah, they're like Michael Owen in the old days. As soon as your back's turned,
when you're not looking,
bang.
Yeah.
Anyway, the great news is Loch Ness monsters, which have gone.
Yeah.
Or monster, even though it's known to lurk near that castle.
That's right.
Because under there are chambers. For some reason, I even sort of believe that. I think it's in a crap film about it. Anyway, get this, Gav.
Go on.
A man claims to have spotted the Loch Ness Monster, third time this year.
You're joking.
I'm seeing him every day.
He can't stop seeing that thing.
He can't. His name is Johan O'Forgan.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those names with loads of vowels in. It's either Scottish or Irish, I don't know. But
E-O-I-N or one of those.
E-O-I-N,
weird...
yes.
Yeah, that's Owen, isn't it? I think.
It's Ian, I think, which is the same as Owen,
yeah.
Which is the same as John.
Okay.
Which is the same as Ivan.
Yes, and Jan.
Jonathan, Jan.
Sean.
Sean.
Jean.
Jacques.
John.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, no, Jack is James, but yet John is Jack in... I don't know.
It's weird. Yeah.
Anyway, he believes he saw the legendary creature in the dark waters of the Loch last week. He saw a 30-foot shape in the water.
Okay, right. So, and is this just the one time he saw it this year? Because he can't stop seeing that little sucker.
He can't. The monster lover's chilling video shows a long black shape rising to the surface of the water for a few moments.
Oh, yeah.
Then it sinks back in there.
Wow.
Yeah. Nessie fan. Is it nice that a fan gets to see Loch Ness Monster so many times?
It's nice for the fan now and again, rather than just a passerby.
Yeah, it is.
By,
a lot of fans.
Yeah.
No, but a lot of fans never get that, do they?
That's Loch true. Ness they get nothing back
fans.
From their object of their fandom.
I bet he's got loads of merch.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I bet he's got a lot of Loch Ness merch. Yeah, that's what they sell.
Yeah.
Nessie fan Johan said it was amazing to see such a large image caught on video compared to my previous sightings. Johan's first brush with the mysterious creature came at the beginning of this year.
Wow, he's had a glut of sightings.
Earlier this month, he was treated to another spooky glimpse of the monster. So he's had three. The star isn't really that. The star isn't that expansive about the other two.
They're not being rigorous about.
Well,
the fact checking.
No, look, you got that one that gets the whole article in page two.
Yeah,
and then you get his first brush came at the beginning of the year, and then earlier this month he was treated to another glimpse.
Wow,
they don't really get into the other. I mean, for the star not to make much out of those. They must have said...
Thin meat on the bone.
The bloke from the star goes, is that the only one you've had then?
Go on, just tell us you've done it another time.
Is that the only one you got? Well, can we say you've had a glimpse, right? And what about last week? You was talking about a shadow?
Well, it might have been, but...
It's just a feeling of
right,
really.
Third time in a month then.
Three in one year.
That's
a trick, mate.
I'll sell it on that. Thank you very much. That's the front page done. Pages eight. That's the old paper.
Oh, they write themselves.
Yeah. I've got more news from Scotland coming up.
Excellent.
If you thought my Loch Ness Monster news was fantastic with that undoubted triple sighting, I've got some killer mackerel coming up, yeah.
Wow.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Hope you're having a good enough afternoon. If you are, it's probably because you're not salmon in Scotland.
Why?
Because, unfortunately, they're victims of what the Daily Star is calling killer mackerel.
Killer mackerel?
Killer mackerel.
Wow.
No, I've never seen it on a menu.
I've never seen a mackerel big enough to take on a salmon.
How'd you cook the, how's the killer mackerel? I want it's just very spicy. get this, Gav. Killer mackerel are threatening the 1 billion a year Scottish salmon industry. It is an industry. Scientists say the fish hunt down young salmon and compete for food with them.
Oh, they go for the youngsters.
I don't know what they do, Gav.
Yeah. They're hunting in packs, no doubt.
Yeah, I bet they are. I mean, that's the sort of sense you get here.
Sure. Killer mackerel, wow. Loch Ness and killer mackerel.
Yeah, but...
What's going on in Scotland?
I know, it's kicking off there. I've got another one coming up for you about Scotland. So I've got the big Scottish story still to come.
Wow.
And that's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
I'm just warming you up. I'm just teasing you with Loch Ness and killer mackerel. But get this. Dr. Jens Holst from the Institute of Marine Research in Norway. Do you think they're just all made up in the Star? I mean, I'm reading that. I'm thinking, is there a Dr. Jens Holst? And they just made it up. Just,
they could easily
and there's just
be.
Some
just...
laughing journalist. Can I just call him? Yeah, I've just always called him that. Isn't it? They've got whole books of made up contact. Anyway,
experts. Yeah.
He says, in my view, the mackerel is the major player for the decline of salmon.
Wow.
Player.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who knew they were so firmed up?
I don't know. But whenever you start talking about a player, yeah, always for me, I'm thinking it's bad to say that to star readers because most star readers just will instantly think, let a player play.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Good point.
Don't
yeah.
hate the player.
Yeah, hate
right?
the game.
Hate
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Hate the game. That's very much the attitude. In fact, I'm surprised it doesn't say the Daily Star, don't hate the player.
They should. They that just should be their strapline.
Yeah. Say that. Radio X. Gav, I've got one of the best ever bits of marketing I've heard about for years.
What's that?
Well, this is one of these sort of rare groove Scottish dukes.
Right.
Yeah. Who I had to look up. But he's so canny. This is our third story from Scotland. So really spoiling you today.
Wow.
Good wow, Gav. Get this, right? This guy's canny. This is the Duke of Buccleuch.
Buccleuch.
Buccleuch, yeah.
Okay.
It's spelt... B-U-C-C-L-E-U-C-H.
Okay.
But it's pronounced Buccleuch.
Okay.
We listen to it on YouTube, so I'm probably going to get other people complain. But I've never heard about this guy particularly.
No, me neither.
Now, I know there was like 21 or 22 dukedoms created by like Charles I. They were all his illegitimate children.
In Scotland, are you talking about, or overall?
No, around the
okay,
country.
Okay, right,
yeah,
right,
they're all
right.
given little places.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true or not. It's sort of...
It's in there somewhere.
It's in there somewhere from something. And this is why dukes are related to the blood and get called Your Grace.
Okay.
Because they're meant to come from that holy line of kings and everything.
Right.
Anyway. for years. The Scottish are amazing at selling otherwise useless bits of land, right? If it's a, if it's quite a dull bit of water, yeah, they'll say there's a monster lurking in there.
Yeah, it's a good ploy.
It's a great ploy.
Great ploy.
Great ploy. Now they've
you
got,
never know.
You never know. But even their water's purer. And it probably is.
It probably is.
But yeah. I think they're the first lot just to stick it in a plastic bottle and still sell it as something pure.
Highland Spring.
Highland Spring. Sprung in plastic. In bug plastic bottles. Anyway, Gav.
Yeah.
For years, locals have said there are riches to be found in the soaring hills around Wanlochead.
Oh, yeah.
Now the hopes of Scotland's highest village to create a resort to rival those found in the Alps. You got to see it. May finally be realised, with visitors offered the chance to hike, ski, or get this.
Go on.
Pan for gold.
Oh, my God.
I know. That's unbelievable. This is the canny Duke.
Monster
so,
skiing.
He is
gold.
One of Britain. Yeah. He's one. All three. He's one of Britain's richest landowners.
Yeah.
But yesterday, he's decided to sell some of his land.
Right.
Let me tell you. There's a few people I would not buy land off.
Who?
One of them is a very canny Scots landowner. Let me tell you, because I'll tell you something. He's not going to get rid of the best bits.
No, he'll keep the good bits.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
He didn't get where he is today.
No.
By selling the choicest bits of land. No. Lucrative. How can we make it look more lucrative?
If suggest you, there might be some oil beneath if you, the ground.
He's so posh. An Englishman,
yeah.
He could only be Scottish.
Yes, I know exactly.
There's a sort, there's a sort of Englishman you meet, someone who's literally so sort of, hello there, how are you?
It's so aristocratic.
Or as my Scottish ancestors like to say. And then you sort of think, what?
What?
What? And then he sort of
says, I'm a Glasgow boy, don't you know?
God, I'm Glasgow boy, born and bred on our show. Oh, no, good Lord, my family are all Highlanders, you know.
I won't hear anything of Edinburgh.
Yeah, no, but they'll suddenly come out with you, like you're playing golf, and they go, probably some of my Highland blood. You're thinking, what?
Or you English, you're always saying things like that.
Yeah, what am I talking about? You're playing golf with them. That has literally never happened.
Right.
But in this sort of fantasy world.
Yes.
Anyway, the Duke, whose private fortune is about 260 million,
right.
He's going to sell about 3,860 acres from his Queensbury estate.
Right.
To the resident, is that the Marquess of Queensbury?
I'd like to know that.
Does
too,
the Marquess of Queensbury, don't tell me the Marquess of Queensbury becomes the Duke of Buccleuch. I don't think he does. I think he becomes the Duke of Hamilton. Anyway, let's carry on.
Go on.
So he's going to sell a little bit of Dumfries and Galloway. The land includes, he's going to sell the village.
Right.
I'm afraid I've got to sell you.
Good luck, everyone.
We've lived here for years and no one's. I know, but it's time to go. I'm afraid I have to cut you loose.
I wonder what the village is going for.
I don't know. Does it come with the villagers? I'd love that if it was on the itinerary. Like 20 houses.
314.
Yeah, for 214 residents. People.
Yeah.
Yeah. Includes.
Very angry landlord of pub.
Yeah, yeah. Brackets complains about brewery. The
on.
Land includes the village itself, stretches away to the nearby Lowther Hills, which has prompted local entrepreneurs to fantasise about a tourist boom based on mountain biking, rambling skiing and gold panning.
Gold panning is
now,
the best.
Now, what's weird is, as recently as 2015, a 20-carat nugget... about 18.1 grams, worth 10 grand,
yeah.
was discovered by a Canadian man taking part in a local gold panning contest. And let me tell you what that was about, yeah? They'd save that for that guy.
Do you reckon he brought it in with him or
no,
something?
No, I reckon they put it there. Just try and get the news back
to
Canada.
News
if you
Canada.
Really want gold, don't go, forget Canada.
Yeah.
You want to get yourself to Scotland, mate.
Right,
the Duke of Buccleuch is literally giving it away.
Mountain.
I was
gold.
Just, no, but it's classic Scottish marketing. I was literally on a course, really worth 10 grand.
Yeah.
I was on a course, eh? Just dig down, eh? I suddenly found a gold nugget worth 10,000, eh? Yeah, go to Scotland. Okay, stop what you're doing right now. I don't mean stop listening to this podcast. That'll be crazy, especially as I've got some great news. You've all heard of Disney, right? Of course you have. What about Disney Plus? Okay, now I've got your attention. And that is the effect of the plus. I'm thinking of adding one to my name, actually, because of that effect. Johnny Plus. All right, Johnny Plus. Sounds good. Disney Plus is the new streaming service, home to endless entertainment and the greatest stories from Pixar. You got Marvel, Star Wars, Nat Geo, and you guessed it, Disney. A monthly subscription of $5.99 gets you exclusive originals, never-before-seen films, TV series, documentaries, and much, much more. It's awesome! And you can get it now. Like, right now. Don't get left behind. Search Disney Plus UK online to start streaming.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
You right there, Gav?
Very good.
Okay, I'm just trying to think what I'm going to do here for you, because I've got a few options.
Sailors, you were mentioning?
No, I know, but I'm just trying to think maybe if I should... Do you know what? I'll give you a bit of office goss.
Go on, then.
So I'm in the office. I've just been to Whole Foods, yeah? Because the only place open in the West don't get any food.
Right.
Although I'm reading in the papers about it's like five guys opening in some places.
Really?
Like that. Really good news like that.
Wow.
I'd kill for a Chinese takeaway. I haven't got a source of Chinese food at the moment.
I haven't had one for, 5 weeks.
God, I miss it.
I know.
I know I shouldn't really say these things on radio because it might be boosting morale, but God, yeah. I miss a Chinese.
I know.
If you're out there somewhere and you're delivering, please. 83936. I'm in South London. Where can I get a decent Chinese, please? Anyway, Gav.
Yeah.
We're in the office. And I had an extra can of lemonade, this delicious lemonade. You know, I'm always on a quest for the perfect lemonade.
I've never seen someone try so many brands of lemonade.
I try them fizzy and non-fizzy.
Sure.
My own non-fizzy lemonade is pretty good.
Is it? Okay. Is it cloudy?
Shake Shack. Shake Shack do the best. At the moment, the best lemon, still lemonade.
Right.
You can get in anywhere.
Okay.
It's unbelievably good. But although, you have to just straight away double up the amount of water. For some reason, everyone always makes lemonade so
sickly.
Strong.
Yeah.
You know, Gav and I are trying to lead a campaign. Rather than bringing out reduced sugar drinks, just have the original and just use a quarter of the amount. I like
more water. Yeah.
I like ice cold weak squash.
So do I. You can quaff the hell out of it.
I hate it when it's sticky.
I know. You can get a whole pint glass with some ice and weak squash. It's delicious.
It just shows the mentality, doesn't it, Gav? Shows that mentality of those bricks, those stones out there who really think they've got to bring, they've got to bring out a low. They've got to ruin Ribena.
Yes.
Just because some people literally like a quarter of it. I go about 1 to 3 parts water.
Even just a traditional barley water, John. Just water it up. It's
orange
delicious.
Or lemon? You're orange or lemon? Then.
I like orange.
I'll get for the orange part. Lemon. It always tastes like you've left sort of washing up liquid in the glass somehow.
I've been known to combine the two. That's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's nice. I bet it is. Yeah. What sort of like a
little bit of orange, a little bit of lemon?
Nice. What you like? You get lemon barley water with a bit of head on it. Nice. Anyway, here's the point. So I say to Vinny, do you want the lemonade? And he goes, oh, yeah, great.
Yeah.
And I got that moment, when you offer something and you're hoping they're going to, because it's delicious, right?
Yeah, you want to get their reaction,
You want to get the reaction. And I'm like, what, Vin? And he goes, no, I'll have it later on the way home when I'm walking along in the sunshine.
And he's a thinker.
No, but I didn't give it to him to save for later.
I'd
have done shopping for him while I was there. I said, I wish I'd known, I'd have bought you some chicken legs,
Finn's legs are fine.
I bought you some frozen stuff.
Yeah.
No, but it's just slightly irked.
Groceries.
No, because then he just carried on editing, looking all, thanks, cheers.
Yeah, he put his headphones on.
Just pop
on.
It there. No, but literally.
Yeah.
Really annoying. Anyway, Big Si then told us a story about...
intern, yeah.
So, nearly cheese salad, didn't you? You nearly wanted to ruin it.
No,
Did you want a little bit?
John, I always want to.
Of course you do. That's the
way I am.
That's the nature of the beast, isn't it, Gav? Anyway, so Big Si told us a story about an intern who used to work here. And they were all out. And obviously, interns, they don't get as paid as much as everyone else. Everyone else is as rich as Croesus, as far as I can work out.
Yeah.
Most people you work with, they start talking about their property, and then they'll sort of go, no, that's the one I rent out.
You're
thinking he's a runner.
Wow.
Anyway, so this intern, who's probably landed, but as rich as Croesus. No, he wasn't. He didn't have much money. And he's gone, they've offered him a drink, and he's gone, they offered him a drink as part of the round.
A
pint, and he's gone... actually, can I have the chips?
A portion. He'd worked out it was the same money.
Well, same price for the chips.
Yeah.
In the pub. It's like asking for cash. Wasn't it? just run around. No, if I could just have $4.95, that'd be... can I have a $5?
I really hope people who get married do that.
But if you're in a big round, right?
Yeah.
So say it's a 10-person round and you're not using whip strategy, right?
Yeah.
So there's a 10-person round. It just involves, let's say, 8 people, right?
Yeah.
Then if you're sort of lining up about 8th, and you say, instead of your drink, You
can I have the
you,
40 quid.
No, or you sell it to someone. You sort of go, do you want a pint? No, I just got it actually. Here's a fiver. Yeah. You know, you're like, hey, that's like, yeah, you know, yeah. It's about 40 quid you're getting there.
Sell the round yes. to someone.
Yes.
Like a yeah. bond.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just interested in any bartering you've got involved with, where you've just given something, or someone's round, and they've got involved in any kind of barter system from just an act of generosity, thinking, I just meant to give you a drink. I mean,
especially anyway. If there's decimals involved.
Yes.
If someone's asked for the $4.95.
Right. Right, it's really annoying.
It's really rude.
That's amazing, isn't it? He wanted chips as his round.
Not the right. actual
It might have been one round and everyone had chips. Yeah, right. No, I'm not doing food. A round of chips, everyone. Loads of you texting in about what's happened sometimes during drinks rounds, when people have bought a round of drinks and just...
People have bartered for other things.
Some great... Yeah, or just a round of things that sort of have one yourself and what people have gone for instead.
Yeah.
How about this? My granddad, Gordon, had a very big beard and he's very difficult to understand. He also mumbled.
Yeah.
He sounds great. He had a massive beard and mumbled. You couldn't even lip read, you know. It's just like such on a lip read an Ewok.
Talking among his
Not
beard.
An Ewok, well, a Wookie.
Yeah.
Mum tells me he once came back from the bar with a bowl of pickled eggs.
Why?
He asked for a pint of Castlemaine 4 eggs. And they just gave him 4 eggs.
He'd asked for 4 eggs.
4 eggs. I hope that's a lie. Gab, what else you got there?
This one's from John in Belfast. When I was an apprentice on a building site, one of the other apprentices was tasked with going to the shop at lunchtime. One of the guys gave him a fiver for a packet of Benson and Hedges.
Yeah.
The lad said, what if they've got no B&H? The man said, well, just get me something else. He came back with an apple tart.
Or say dead. Or he came back with an apple tart. Or he came back with an apple tart. Get me Benson and Hedges now.
He's fierce.
I'm fierce to get some desperate for a fogger like me. Oh.
An apple tart.
Anything by the Gallagher's.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's just brilliant.
Came back with a Lamborghini. Yeah. Okay, Gav, you ready for this? When I was a 16-year-old YTS trainee, writes Gary in Wigan. Thank you very much, Gary. When I was a 16-year-old YTS trainee in a screen printing business, the labourer who used to go for the lunches, various pie shop, chip shops, etc. in town, was told to keep the change after being given the order and the money one day. So he came back 40 minutes later than the usual people came back, and the food was cold.
Oh, no.
And they asked him why. He says, well, I'm sorry it got cold. I was on the bus. And they said, what? He'd used the change to go to a bicycle repair shop on the other side of town to get a new inner tube.
This is really practical.
Yeah, very practical guy. Also, it's got nothing to do with that. We were talking about tight-fisted stuff. This is separate. I'm just giving you this as a one-off.
Yeah.
Honestly, the tight-fisted stuff is quite... It's quite predictable. It's basically just a list of men.
Type people, yeah.
It's basically just a list of men's names or their dads.
Yeah.
Keith's dad. He's tight. Anyway, get this. Not that people text in that tone of voice. Me and my friends sometimes go to watch our local football team, and we can see our mates standing in the bushes behind the fence.
Our mate's dad, yeah.
Mate's dad. Yeah. He then comes in the ground at half time as it's free to get in. It only costs £3 to get in. Anyway, that's Alex from Canic. Thank you so much, Alex. That's absolutely lovely.
They see him lurking in the bushes.
Just see him. £3.
£3.
Oh, man. Radio X. I don't know why Mr. Bean is big in Jamaica, Gav. They just like it.
It's weird, yeah. It's really powerful.
Sorry,
really,
I know. Any more than I know why Norman Wisdom was massive in Albania. But yes, he's their biggest ever star.
You're kidding.
What's really weird is why you ask me.
I know, well, I thought you knew.
No, of course I don't know why Mr. Bean's big in Jamaica. Probably because, I don't know, probably they like the stereotype, I guess.
I guess, yes.
Right, 5:30. I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is my 4 till 7 thing. I got Gav here.
Mm.
I got Big Si here, but the fourth wheel. Oh, no, that's Dr. John Templeton. The spare wheel.
The get home wheel.
Poking, yes, again.
The space saver.
Gav, I get it. You had me at home wheel, Gav. No, don't laugh along, Simon. No, Simon, don't laugh. I said, don't laugh along, all right?
Sorry.
It's one of those occasions where we're very much not laughing with you. Little Simon has joined us.
Good evening.
Hi, little Si.
All right. Look at you. You're not on telly and you haven't got the job in local. Also, move your teeth back from the camera as well.
Sorry.
No, honestly, for a second, that looked like I was about to be savaged by a wolf. A young wolf. A little size. We've got the walls of our studio are sort of made of TV screen. I don't know if it is exactly. It's sort of all knobbly. But so we can see little Si here. You're lucky in that respect out there.
Yeah.
Little Si, how have you been?
I'm very well. I've been very well. I've done a bit of online shopping this week.
Sorry, did you just drop the G on shopping?
Shopping.
Yeah.
You said, oh, shopping and swimming.
Swimming.
Dancing. Go on, what else have you been doing, Si? What did you buy at the shops then? Go on. I mean,
fresh out of the bag, I got some new Levi's.
Did you?
Levi's?
Let's have a look. Yeah. Let's have a look.
Wow.
How about that?
I didn't know they made them that thin.
The only problem is they are quite tight.
Okay, go on. Walk around. Go on. Stand on the table. Dance. Dance for me.
My pity.
Is that that shirt I gave you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a really nice shirt, man. Yeah, sorry, good. I gave him a Brooks Brothers linen shirt. Unfortunately, I shrunk it. God, it's nice, man. That's really sad. Those jeans are too tight.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I'm sitting down. It's not nice.
Sitting.
But that's not the big issue. The big issue, I can't fit my wallet in it. Look.
Well, you'll be all right when you go out with us, won't you? As times that comes out. Can I just say, that's what we call a rare sighting.
It really is.
It's like saying, I've seen more Osprey around London than that.
So I'm not entirely sure what you're going to do with that. Like, do I have to take now a bag out to carry my wallet?
No, I tell you what you do. You man up a little bit and you actually look in that wallet. And you have to do a bit of a, you know, clear out. You have a wallet clear out.
I do, yeah.
And you say, for a start, I know you don't carry cash. Maybe like one tenner or something you'll probably have.
I don't.
In case.
Also, I see little Si as a bit of a bum bag kind of guy.
Yeah. No, I don't think they're quite cool at the moment. Roadman pouches, I don't. Yes. I see them as a thick...
Yeah, but they wear them as a diagonal shoulder thing.
Yeah, I see them as very much one of those stupid, thick wallets in, full of loads of receipts and just sort of stuff.
I can't go without my Nectar card.
Okay, let's look through the wallets.
British Airways executive membership card.
Okay, I don't mind having the Radio X great wallet clear out as long as the BBC don't nick it for a format. It's the sort of crap they show.
A brilliant idea.
What, the great wallet clear out?
What's in your wallet?
It's not quite middle class enough. The BBC, what's in your wallet?
Let's have a look.
Do you want to see what's in his wallet?
Yes,
Des. What name did you say? Did you say Des?
No, I didn't.
Right. So what you got in there? Come on.
Well, yeah, I've got all my club cards.
How many club cards you got? What do you got?
Hang on, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got my Wigmore Sports Tennis Club membership.
I got to tell you, you're not
a club card.
It's not really a name drop. As soon as you're a member, mate, that's something to keep quiet about.
I got a couple of business cards that I designed myself.
What, in 2009?
Yeah. Genuinely.
No, he wasn't joking either. No, I don't know why both of you are laughing. Neither of you were joking. It's quite an extraordinary situation. Yeah. You're laughing at Gav not making a joke. It's quite weird. It's quite weird to see the two of you. Go on, what else you got?
Well, that's it, really. Well, stamps, obviously.
How many credit cards you got? What do you deal with there? I'm not trying to open things up for fraudsters. I'm not going to read out the numbers.
I've got my John Lewis partnership card.
Of course you have.
Nice. What else you got?
Because then you get your points, you see. What do points mean?
Prizes, go on. What do points mean? Go on.
Money off your next shot.
Yeah, I know it does. I was just doing a Bruce Forsyth impression back. I wasn't trying to ask a question. When I said, what do points mean? I wasn't teeing you up to go, prizes? Honestly, stop moving. What else you got there?
That's about it. The stamps and a few.
We haven't gone through credit cards yet. How many? What cards you got? You're trying to keep it all quiet. What you got? How many you got?
No, I've got three.
Have you?
But only one of them I use abroad. Because I get a special rate abroad, you see.
Which one's that?
No, I can't name it. Don't wave me off.
What are you trying to say? You just waved me off like I was staff.
Get away, peasant.
No, but I can't tell you. He just waved me away.
Enough with this.
Do you know something, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a good job you're not here, yeah?
Yeah. Because we'd get him.
I'd get you for that,
and
definitely.
And we'd get that one.
Definitely be gaffer taped to the chair. Right. Have we got a Friday horn?
We have got a Friday horn. Can I announce the start of the weekend?
Of course you can. I'm going to confess to you. I miss you. There you are. I've said it. I genuinely do. I really do.
I haven't had a proper conversation with anyone.
I know. I've got to tell you, you're coming across a little bit at the moment. Like, you know, in Treasure Island, when they find Ben Gunn on that island, and he's got that beard, and he's like, if it takes about a week to walk about on a grapes, how many apples are there in a keg of fish? Yeah, he's just excitable. Mad. Just all,
I can't believe
you're
here.
It's sort of like you'd make a fine Ben Gunn at the moment. You really
would. Okay, right, well, here goes. Here goes the Friday horn. Let the weekend commence!
Oh, tremendous! That's the spirit! That's what we want! Yeah, don't dance, Simon. Oh, that's lovely. Do you think if they brought back the death penalty in Britain, that'd be a great just precursor before the axe drops?
Very suitable.
It'd be really nice. Yeah. It's on nods. It goes. Yeah, right. Simon, you take care. Have a lovely weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Also, send my love to your wife, yeah?
Will do.
Oh, tell her that thing should arrive any day now. I've just bought a little present, just some jewellery. I'll see you soon, Simon. Take care.
Bye.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Gav, let's have a hero. Every single day, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, no exception. Gav, what do you got for me?
Okay, the hero today, Johnny, is a man called Hiro Onoda.
Okay.
He was born in 1922 and he lived till 2014.
Okay.
He was a second lieutenant in the Japanese army in the Commando Intelligence Wing, which I didn't know. Now, the reason I picked this story, even though he was an enemy soldier, is that he's the famous story of the Japanese soldier that everyone knows about.
I'm glad you're going to clear this up finally.
That wouldn't surrender for years. Now, I never knew how long he held out for, but this is the story. So in 1944...
What's the truth, Gav?
In 1944, he was sent to Lubang Island, part of the Philippines, to interfere with Allied attacks on the island. So the Allies were trying to claim it.
Yeah.
The Japanese were there. He joined in. He was there to sabotage the airstrip and the harbour. He's basically SAS.
Okay.
One of the reasons which explains why he held out for so long. So February 1945, the Allies actually took the island, and Hiro Onoda was one of only four Japanese soldiers who hadn't either perished or surrendered.
Yeah.
Him and the other three took to the hills.
Okay.
And they lasted a while. In 1949, so 5 years after the end of the war.
They're still fighting.
One of them left and surrendered and figured out that the war was actually over.
Okay.
In 1954, they kept fighting with the local police. They were having gunfights because they thought they were still at war.
I know. Where is this again?
Luba Island.
Where's that?
Lubang Island.
Where is it?
The Philippines.
Okay. So, sorry.
So, the other two were killed along the years in between the period of the end of the war.
What, battling with police?
Yes. And one of them made it all the way to 1972.
Yes.
It's absolutely amazing.
Well, that's when I heard the story as a kid.
Well, this is what I couldn't believe. In February 1974,
yeah.
29 years after the end of the war,
go on.
A Japanese man called Norio Suzuki was a hippie, a travelling hippie.
Yeah.
He set out travelling the world to, quote, find Lieutenant Onoda, the Abominable Snowman, and a panda. So he was sort of joking around. But he did go and find him. And they hung out together. And he kept saying, why haven't you surrendered? The war's over.
Yeah, the war's over.
Do you know what his answer was?
What?
I was awaiting orders. So do you know what they did?
What?
He went back. The guy who found him, Mr. Suzuki, went back to Japan. And they found his old commanding officer, who was now a who was now a bookseller in a bookshop. He flew all the way to Lubang Island and went and met with Hiro Onoda and gave him orders to surrender. So he did. He surrendered his sword, his dagger, and his rifle to Ferdinand Marcos, the president of the Philippines,
oh, man.
In 1974, 29 years later. I thought it was like 5 years he hung out.
No. So in 1974, that's when the last Japanese... That's when World War II...
14th of March, 1974.
World War II ended in 1974 because that's the surrender of the last Japanese soldier.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. He ended up raising cattle in Brazil with his brother and he lived till 2014. 91 he died.
My God, Woodman!
That's commitment for you, Hiro Onoda.
Hiro Onoda. Can I just say, Gaff... His name's Hero. How weird.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I thought each day we're going to give people that, the honorific.
The hero of the day.
Yeah, today is we salute Hero. God, that's a great story. And do you know what's really nice about that? There's a lot of apocryphal stories about things like that. And it's used a lot as an analogy. He's like one of those Japanese soldiers.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Radio X.
Right, so I was at Buckingham Palace a while back, yeah, just having a little bit of a poke around.
Yeah.
They left me on my own for a bit. That's what you do, isn't it, when you're in other people's houses?
Sure,
sometimes
sure.
You sit there for a while, difficult, then you sort of peer out the door. You
just have a little nose,
and
yeah.
you think, you know what, I'm going to have a little... well, I didn't do that.
Mm.
But then you just have a little look around and to start opening cupboards and things. And as I said, I saw the wooden base, but I also saw a lot of the gifts. Now, loads of the stuff, particularly the stuff sent in by the public. Can I just say, don't bother, yeah?
Right.
The stuff you're sending in, pictures and stuff, it's just crap. She doesn't need it. She's got enough. She's got her own kids. She's got her own grandchildren. She doesn't need more, right?
Yeah, and she's got some Da Vinci's as well.
Don't kid yourself, yeah? That she's got, oh, yeah, she'll love that picture. It's off our fridge.
Yeah.
My daughter's done a picture of the Queen. Yeah, she's going to love that, isn't she? Another sort of, like a head with a stick.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all the trees, like Brussels sprouts
yeah.
on sticks.
Uh-huh.
You know that sort of thing. She doesn't need it. Anyway,
no.
This is some of the presents she got last year. A little bit of a guide to your royal presents of the year. Ready for this?
Go on.
No one quite knows how many gifts the Queen has received in her lifetime. Last year, she had 72. Decent presents.
Okay.
Even though she no longer travels abroad. This is aside from the crap the public give her. Yeah?
Yeah.
Walkabouts. Everyone's always thrusting rubbish at her.
Right.
Like little teddies and stuff. Yeah. Like love hearts written, embroidered on the foot.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Some scones.
Yeah. No, scones are all right. I mean, I'd take a scone any day, wouldn't you?
I would, yeah.
Yeah. It's just homemade jam, you probably. You've had enough of that.
chutney's
always, again, always. Gav, your gear higgs, some of my favourite things.
I'm getting really hungry now.
Yeah, I am as well. Anyway, it's safe to assume, however, never before she's been given a pop-up book commemorating the 70th anniversary of the People's Republic of China. Yeah, well, I would think she's never before been given anything celebrating the 70th anniversary of China, because it's only 70 last year, wasn't it? It was one of the crassest things.
A pop-up book.
A pop-up book, yeah.
Oh, God.
I know. Unbelievable. That's what they gave her. She also got a painting of a swimming pig. That was from the governor of wherever it is, where those pigs swim, Bahamas.
Right.
The Chinese pop-up book arrived through the post, sent to her personally by President Tsai.
Right.
And the pig picture, like I say, came from the Governor General of the Bahamas. Cushy number or
nice,
what?
Nice, yeah.
President Pahor of Slovenia gave her a 24-carat gold-plated horse comb.
Nice.
Isn't that nice? That's a bit... I bet she'd like that.
Yeah.
Oh, a regular little royal's pet, aren't we?
Yeah.
She also received 3 wood carvings of pygmy hippos from the ambassador of Liberia. She got a woven raffia hat from the High Commissioner of Lesotho.
Mm-hmm.
I'd think of that. The pygmy hippos, everyone's going to love that. I love all miniature pets. Most usefully, the Régiment de la Chaudière of Canada gave her a box, bottle of gin and 2 glasses. Slip a bit of Dubonnet in there, and her mum would have loved that.
Yeah, defo,
didn't she? GCHQ, this is interesting.
Yeah, what did they do?
Well, our friends at GCHQ, can I just say hello to all our listeners there? Nice to have you on board.
Hi, guys.
Keep that distance. We need you now more than ever, guys.
Yeah.
They gave her a small pin badge. Marking its centenary. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was presented in a 3D printed box with a cipher code on the Perspex lid, etched with "Thank you, Mom" in hex code.
Wow.
That's after she went to Watergate House, which was not the one in Washington, obviously, it's where the agency started. President Trump, do you want to know what he gave her?
What?
He gave her a Tiffany poppy brooch
right.
and a personalised Air Force One jacket for the Duke of Edinburgh.
Lovely.
One of those leather jackets that,
nice.
You know. Mind you, it doesn't matter, right? Because we know he is a moron.
I think it's safe to say, yeah.
No, he's a moron.
Yeah, he's a certified.
He's indicating, can we inject
moron.
Bleach? America, don't vote him in again. We love you so much.
Yeah, please come back, America.
We always stand shoulder to shoulder, but this is just one thing in all this time we really differ on.
Yeah.
Can't you see he's turning you into a sort of, I don't know, 30s, I don't know what he's turning him into. Just this reclusive nation that...
It's weird.
Right, Gav.
Go on.
More presents. The youngest member of the family, I'm going to finish with this, Archie Mountbatten, Windsor, son of Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, son of Duke and Duchess of Sussex, who joined his parents on their tour of South Africa. He's been given 6 teddy bears and soft toy animals, including a rabbit, a monkey, an elephant, 2 lions, and a couple of rhinos, plus a book from Desmond Tutu.
Wow.
And I say he will no longer be eligible for those gifts. And in actual fact...
Should return them, yeah.
No, I think they should send someone from the parachute regiment to get those back.
I think so, yep.
Snatch them from the boy.
Yeah.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Guys, there's only one newspaper really serving up a big story. As you know, I'm getting... As you know, we get the newspapers rejected by LBC and the news department. Essentially, I get the scrapbook of everything no one else wants. But that's fine. I won't use the internet as my news source because I can't trust any of it. No. I know, okay, it's the Daily Star, but at least... Oh, geez, a very good point.
There's some kind of
No, there isn't. The Star surely is just a porter cabin. I think you can actually plead, if you do just lie in it or libel someone, you can just go, come on, it was in the Star.
Yeah, good point.
And everyone goes, yes, you're right.
It's a legal defence.
I think it should be a defence to say, come on, no one takes that seriously for a long time. It's like, you know, if a comedian says something.
Yeah, yeah.
The Star should have a bit more license, is all I'm saying. Yeah. On the grounds that I don't believe they can seriously defame anyone in that way unless, of course, it's me.
It's not a credible source.
No, of course it's not. If the Star sort of said anything about you, everyone sort of thought, well, that can't be true.
Yeah.
Well, you can almost rule that one out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's a new defence, Star, but...
So what are they going
probably with the only one you haven't tried yet.
What are they going with on the front page?
Right. Okay, other newspapers. Key rule for lifting the lockdown is softened.
PPE testing.
Yeah, you got virus survivors, silent tribute.
Yeah.
That's in the Telegraph. You've got over 65s and workers to get tests.
Yeah.
You got the surprising news about, in the Times, you got care home. You got care home fatalities are bad.
Yeah.
You got banks blocked billions in lost holiday repayments.
Wow.
Please not mine. But only the Star keeps a bit of a world. Everyone's gone a bit insular, Gav. They're just looking within. Not the Star.
What are the Star?
They're looking
at
more without than ever before.
On our behalf.
Yeah, I do like the word without.
Uh-huh.
People forget it means the opposite of within as well.
Yeah,
they
outward.
Mean to go without, but actually they don't realise it means without. Like, without city walls means just outside.
Outside,
I like using it like that.
Because
people look at me like, is it used that correctly?
I think that is whence the meaning came.
It is from whence it came. Gav, I'll tell you what's on the front page of the Star, and this is going to rock your world.
What have they gone with?
I'm going to tell you now what they went with. Went, past tense of the verb, wend.
Wending, yeah.
Which is so interesting, isn't it? Yeah. We use the word go, but we very rarely use that past tense. If so, what time do you go? He went at, we use a different verb.
I know.
Absolutely fascinating. To respond to the word go, we use past tense of the word wend.
It's mad, isn't it?
Gav, it's crazy. Surprised that isn't on the front page of a newspaper somewhere.
Good point, yeah.
Bit of information like that.
About the language, yeah.
It's very rare you use past tense. Anyway, let's carry on with this.
Go on.
But it's interesting that a word doubles up in its function as the past for, you know, I'm sure that'll be something that can, well, perhaps light up your conversation for dinner tonight.
Sure. Sure.
I bet there's been more boring discussions. Are you ready for this, Gav? Daily Star, proof that UFOs exist.
Wow. They've gone with the UFO thing.
But if that's true, surely that's a bigger story than that, isn't it?
Well, kind of, except for all they've proved is that there are some unidentified flying...
No, Gav, back off, all right? Just back off. I'll tell you what it is. Secret video footage filmed by dumbfounded US Navy pilots has finally been declassified by the American government to reveal UFOs really do exist.
Wow.
Yes. So, there's you being all tongue-in-cheek at the start. Ha-ha.
So we know what they are now?
Yeah.
Do we? Where are they from?
Secret videos of close encounters with UFOs have been released.
Yes.
This is always the bit that it starts to fall down at paragraph two.
What's it
because
say?
Paragraph two starts with the words, three grainy clips.
They're always grainy.
Yeah.
It's like ghost footage. It's always not quite clear.
Yeah. Showing unexplained aerial phenomena were recorded by dumbfounded US Navy pilots, including one of them who the Star is naming as Chad.
Really?
Yeah. Pilot Chad. One pilot, Chad.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one is Hank. No, it's not.
Must be, yeah.
Anyway, but one of them shows a bizarre dark circular object flying in front of a fighter jet. Another is of a similar object accelerating at incredible speed, which they always do.
Always, yeah.
Well, so you can never get a decent shot of it.
Ever, no.
Right. It's actually generally just like the pilot's watch reflected in the canopy. It's like really weird. Or they do a close-up of it and it's actually...
A reflection in the visor
of his
or something.
Thumb.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah. Anyway, the alien ships just look like a human thumb in a glove. The Pentagon's tapes date from November 2004, January 2015, reporting from above the Pacific. In one of them, a shock pilot saying, "There's a whole fleet of them! Look at that, dude! It's rotating!" And pilot Chad, he said, "It wasn't behaving within the normal laws of physics."
And aerodynamics.
One alien fan said,
"We brought the experts clearly."
No, can I just say, Gav, that's how quick we've got. We've gone. So that's it. That's the eyewitness accounts. We're now with the fans. You ready?
Yeah, go on.
Blimey, it doesn't get much more obvious than this that we are not alone. Wow. There we go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's a game changer of a video.
It is.
A
spokesman for the U.S. Department of Defense said the U.S. Navy previously acknowledged that these videos were out there, but still the source is unidentified.
Radio X.
Gav, yeah. I've got a bit of a confession to make. Something weird's happened.
What happened?
Which I need to share with you. And I sort of feel like I'm about to tell you I've been unfaithful to you in a weird way, but I sort of have.
Go on.
Okay. No, I haven't been doing radio with anyone else. Don't worry about that. I'm not hooking up with Toby or anything. But, oh, God. Oh, Gordon Smart. Oh. Anyway, get this, guys. Sorry, Gordon. It was really mean. I'm really poor out.
Mocking his afflicted voice.
Mocking his nodules. Sorry about that. Even Big Size looking at me like, "You are a dread geezer.
Get well soon, Gordon."
Big Size looking at me like, "What are you, chapa?" Sorry, he's out of South London.
Yeah.
Big Size looking at me like, "Cha. God and why him take that Scotsman down, yes." Anyway, listen, guys.
Go on.
Gav, here's the deal.
Yeah.
So, there's one guy in security, and you know, luckily I'm getting here just after 3 at the moment.
Yeah.
I normally pull in about 3:15, but I'm getting here just after 3.
Yeah.
Even though, because it's so fast, it took me 11 minutes to get from South London to Leicester Square. Fantastic. Anyway, so there's a security guy down there, and as you know, the coffee bar shuts at 3. At 3, precisely. And then he's gone.
Yes.
None of that. But don't they have to sort of shut up and tidy things up? No, 3, gone.
Gone.
I'm always impressed by people who do that. It's like
out of there.
Yeah, there's no packing up time. That's done.
No.
That was in his work time. Anyway.
Yeah.
So you got me a coffee today, as you do. But there's one guy down there. He doesn't know your name. And I haven't corrected him.
Oh, right.
So he said to me, I said, "Is there no coffee?" And he goes, "No, Gary's taking it." Yeah? Now, he did this last week.
So now I have to be Gary.
Yeah. So I didn't correct him because I was in a real rush. Yeah? So today when I came in, I went, "Did Gary..." He goes, "Yeah, no, Gary's taking it, yeah." And it's just... I'm just saying, I suddenly thought, oh, Christ, now he's going to start calling the woodman that... "Hi, Gary." He's going to... It's got really weird, Gav, because now, on at least 3 occasions, I've said to him, "Did Gary..."
And you've reinforced it now.
No, I've reinforced it. I could have just corrected him. It was just easier. And I didn't want him to be wrong because he just looked like he was happy knowing he says, "Johnny, don't worry about it. Gary's got it now."
I don't mind if he wants to call me. Well, I do, actually. I'm not a fan of that. I prefer my own name.
Yeah, of course you prefer your own. Everyone prefers their own name. No, if you'd have gone, "Wow, man, no, I like it.
No, I like Gary.
And I want to be..." No, I'm going to go down there and say, "Hi, just tell him Gary was here. I love it if you had this new..." But Gav, first thing I just want to check. You haven't got like an alter ego who's called Gary.
No, I don't call myself Gary to the coffee guy.
No, you flex down there.
No.
"Hey, Gary's here, everyone.
It's Gary time."
I'd love it if you had a whole Gary persona
in the building somehow for no reason other than a misunderstanding.
Half the building was calling you Gary.
Wow.
Like just people in sort of those you know, the what are they called? Ancillary departments.
Yeah. Yeah, the support department.
The support department. Yeah,
logistics.
Known as Gary to drivers.
Everyone's called Gary.
I love your mate Gary.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Oh, he's a great guy.
I don't know
like
Gary.
No, I know.
Anyway, it's a weird thing that.
It is.
In life, because it's happened to me a few times in life where I just haven't corrected people or I haven't really second checked their.
And it's carried on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, there's another security guy downstairs.
Yeah.
And this is really weird. And his name, yeah?
Yeah.
Is Aldi.
Yeah.
And I got the wrong one, and I confidently called him Little.
And you didn't.
I did. Because I knew it was one of them. And I've only been introduced once. And I logged it. I thought, that's a bit weird. I went, "Hi, Lidl. And he said, "What?" He looked at me like, "What?" And I've gone,
"Sorry, wrong supermarket."
Sorry, I've got the wrong supermarket, haven't I? It was so embarrassing, Gav. No, because I've put a sort of, you know, what I've done, Gav. No, what I've done is I've sort of covered it up a bit. I've sort of gone in there because I wasn't... I just knew it was a supermarket. I was thinking, it is little, isn't
it's
it?
It's not Morrison.
But it can't be pronounced that. Yeah, I didn't say, all right, Morrison. No. All right, Tesco. No, I didn't say that. Lord Sainsbury. I just said, hi, Lidl. I went, Lidl.
Ah, Lidl.
No, Lidl. Thinking it was, and he looked at me and he went, it's Aldi. He goes, it's Aldi. I go, sorry, Aldi. I just
sorry,
you can see what I've done. It was a terrible moment. Anyway, 83936. If you've ever got into any sort of just wrong namemanship, I'd love to hear about it.
And carried on.
Yeah, yeah. A mate of mine, his name's Wrench or Renshaw.
Yeah.
He's the locals. It's an odd name, I know. Yeah. He moved to this village in Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
And they simply couldn't get their head around his name being Wrench. Yeah.
Right.
So they called him Stuart.
Why?
And because they just can't get their heads around a man called Renshaw. So when you're in the village, or in the old days,
they called him Stuart.
Yeah, you
he's
know Renshaw.
So not a Stuart.
I know he's not a Stuart at all. But you have to go. They'd go. So where are you staying then? He'd go. We're staying at Stuart's. And you can see that every time they get you, they laugh their heads off. They think, oh, have you even got his friends calling him Stuart? No. Anyway. 83936. If you've ever it's not quite nicknames. I don't know what it is. It's just the wrong name and it's stuck. So many of you have got into these wrong name sort of situations as well. Like, hi, TJ. I called my husband's grandma once and she thought I said her name was Joyce. For the past 18 years, his grandma and family have now referred to me as Joyce, although my name is Louise. I'm not really anything like Joyce at all. And that's from Lou in Ilkeston. Wow. So she calls someone the wrong name. She's now just known as Joyce. Go on, Gav.
Matt says, hi, guys. This happened to me when I was in school. A lad called me Gaz for 5 years until the last week before we left school. And someone corrected him. My name's Matt, obviously. And the anguish in his face said it all.
He'd been calling him Gaz. Just
for
Gaz.
5 years.
All right, Gaz. Here's one for you. This is really good. I used to volunteer at a youth club. Sorry. Hi, TJ. Lovely, love the show. Don't know how I get through these times without you and Gary.
Sure.
It's Gav. I used to volunteer at a youth club, and one of the kids asked my name when I started. I said, it's Dan. He said, Stan. I go, no, it's Dan. Stan, Dan, Stan. For 18 months, he called me Stan. He's just got a kid calling him that. Get this, yeah. I once went for a meeting. This is years ago. This is about sort of years and years ago with my mate Ed, who I used to write with, yeah?
Yeah.
And we were doing two pitches that day.
Right.
And we had to go and pitched to a guy called Steve, and then the guy called Paul was our second meeting. So I was sort of touting around scripts. I was a script writer at the time. Anyway, so I've gone to meet this guy, and I thought that was Steve, yeah?
Yeah.
So I've just gone up to him, and I've gone, Steve, and he's gone, Paul. And then I've gone, Johnny, this is Ed.
Now you've got too many names.
And we've all stood there, and he's looking at me like, so where's the Steve going?
Who's this Steve?
And he was really mad. It was the maddest thing.
He must have been thinking, hold on, why is Johnny Vaughan calling himself Steve?
No, because he didn't know me particularly. Okay, this is the first time I'd ever met the guy. I wasn't famous.
Oh, right.
I wasn't the household name I am today, Gav.
Okay, right.
I've just walked up confidently, just gone,
he just saw you as Steve.
I just walked up confidently, gone, Steve. And he's gone, Paul. I've gone, this is Ed. I'm Johnny.
Hello. Wow, that's like a Mexican stand-up.
But it's really weird. There was a look inside. There was a really weird pause. We looked at each other and goes, so where's the Steve?
We're
a Steve down. here's another one for you. I was in Australia day trip snorkeling. They asked my name for a name badge. I said Dave in my northern accent. So they heard Dev. So they're calling him Devil. He went, it's Dev.
It's Dev.
It's Dev. So they put, nice to have you here, Div. And he's going, Div, if it's just, I tell you what, what's in a vowel, eh, Gav? I once went to a Scottish friend's birthday in London, writes Alex in Billericay. Thank you very much indeed, Alex. And her mum had come down to London. When we were introduced, her mum had a few drinks and said a very jolly, hi, party, in a strong Edinburgh accent, to which I replied in my home county's accent, I like to party. She said, no. My name's Patty.
Patty.
Hi, Patty. And he went, yeah, I love to party. No, my name's Patty. But Edinburgh, it's a wee bit more twee. Loving the show from Dave and Alex in Billericay. Hi, guys. Go on, Gav.
So Greg says, I once worked in an office with an elderly security guard. I introduced myself as Greg, my name, and he responded with, nice to meet you, Dave. I said, no, Greg, as in the golfer Greg Norman. For the rest of my years in the building, without fail, every morning...
Yeah, I know what it's going to be.
Hi, Norman.
Norman.
I couldn't face telling him. My co-workers cottoned on and I became Norman.
Brilliant. I mean, Greg.
Thanks, Norman.
Dan in York. This is a beauty. I work as a wedding photographer. Had back-to-back Friday, Saturday weddings last year. Went the whole Friday wedding calling the groom by the Saturday groom's name. The best man corrected me in his speech, much to my embarrassment, as it was her ex's name.
Oh, God.
Yes, he's been calling her exactly the name of the ex. God, that's just awful, isn't it? I know a bloke at Chelsea who everyone calls Fat Dave.
Yeah.
He's lost a load of weight. And now he says, actually, John, I've been meaning to tell you this my name's Paul. I've gone, but I've been calling you Fat Dave for 20 years. He goes, I know everyone has. But he says, if you look at me, I'm not really particularly fat anymore.
And my name,
and my name never was Dave.
That's weird.
Radio X. Radio X.
I'm not being funny, right, Gav? At the moment, trying to find a Chinese takeaway that's actually open in South London. I'm like a detective.
I don't think there are any.
What's wrong with them?
We're getting people telling us where they used to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, many years ago.
What's amazing is how many of our listeners used to live in Clapham back in the day. Yeah? Yeah. I should have moved on as well. You know what I mean?
Do you think?
Probably. I'm probably a bit old for Clapham. It's wild out there, isn't it? Clapham Common's wild.
Yeah.
Let's play Clapham Old Town. It's insane.
It is a young man's area.
Yeah. It's insane. Mm. Martin in the Radio X office has had a broken hot tap for over 6 years. This inspired our feature.
Martin's hot tap. He needs a brand new one, but he can't be asked to get it done. Martin's hot tap, been broken for so long, but what haven't you fixed that went wrong?
Daniel, Harry, Sue bloody perb.
That was awesome. Was that the fall?
It was just fantastic, wasn't it? They nailed that. That's Daniel on vocals, guitar and bass, 13-year-old Harry on drums and backing vocals.
Brilliant.
Are they brothers?
I presume they are.
Could be like a new, like a sort of Thrash Hanson.
Yeah.
Which many of us would have liked to have done back in the day.
Thranson.
Yeah, all right, Kev, I knew you'd go with some eggy wordplay.
Sorry.
While I was actually saying something quite funny.
That's true.
Okay. Well. Anyway, Gav, yeah, well, John, that's a matter of opinion, son. If you want to have a go, send your efforts to johnny@radiox.co.uk. As the song says, we're after all those things you can't be asked to fix. Not only are we celebrating your apathy, but also your ingenuity. Hashtag MHT, hashtag CBA, can't be asked. Once more, thanks to Daniel and Harry for that. Please have a go at the themes.
Yeah.
Please.
We love them.
If you want to be in a position like Danny and Harry are now, they can say, no, we've had a bit of national airplay, we had a tune on Radio X. They can say that.
They can. Yeah.
Everyone go, get them out of here. And they go, no, we have.
No, yeah, we've been on national radio.
I swear on my mum's life we have, they can say.
Wow.
And everyone will go, wow, man.
I know. And they won't be bullshitoing.
We swear, I swear on my eyes.
That's right, my own eyes.
And people will look at them like, Christ alive, those kids are rocking.
They really mean it.
And they'll be really impressive. Especially that 13-year-old when he hits the pub.
Absolutely, yeah.
With a swagger in his step.
Yeah, yeah.
That only comes when you've had a bit of music played on national radio. You get the swagger.
Oh, well, they are now Radio X's Daniel and Harry.
Yeah, they're literally there. Radio X's. Actually, let me tell you, where are they from? If I'm strolling around South London and I see outside a pub, as heard on Radio X, and you're trying to gig on it, then it's going to be a problem, all right?
They are brothers. They're tweeting us.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Thanks, lads.
Thanks, guys.
Superb. And you got the right attitude.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's some of our Martin's Hot Taps. This is Derek in Rochester, in Minnesota, USA. Can I just say, it excites me when I get someone who's international like that.
Yeah.
I've had, for instance, Adrian, a Brummie in Sydney, sent me rather a lovely email about his friend Kenny, who passed. He used to sit next to him at Villa. Can I just say, I found your words very reassuring and very comforting, Adrian, and loads and loads of love and a big hug to you. I really needed that, and you gave me great comfort. Thank you very much. Anyway, back to Derek in Rochester, Minnesota, USA. About 3 years ago, the latch broke on my dishwasher door. Since then, we now wedge a 3-foot piece of 4x2 between the dishwasher door and the kitchen island. It works great. Someone else had this, and they did it with a didgeridoo.
That's right. Yeah.
It's one of our most famous lots. It's a grand tradition, this
it
one.
It really
now.
Is.
Go on, Gaff.
Stuart in Berkhamsted says,
hello, Stuart.
For months, we had a bent hinge of a fitted fridge freezer door.
Classic.
It simply wouldn't close.
Ah, we've all walked out.
Instead of getting it fixed, we came up with the ingenious idea of using strips of gaffer tape across the closed door to hold it shut.
Nice.
It also has the added benefit of stopping fridge raids.
Nice.
As it's so much hassle taping and re-taping the door every time.
Do you know something, Gav?
That's beautiful work.
In my kitchen last night, and I'm getting a bit sick of cooking. I did like it for a bit. I'm just sick of it now.
Yeah.
I really, that's why I want a Chinese takeaway tonight.
Sure.
But, so have I banged on about that a bit too much?
No, you've really made me hungry now. We need to get past
that.
Okay, well,
I've just realised, can I just say, I'm someone who annoys is really upset me. Kitchen designers, let's take the beeps off things. Like when dishwashers have done it. Yeah. Just one little beep. It doesn't need to keep going.
Yeah.
My fridge alarm to say that the fridge is open. Here's the deal, make a fridge that shuts.
That's right.
They didn't need it in the old days because fridges, you need to overstay. It's literally, quick, bang. It was like a dungeon, you know, like a great big door, a slam. Yeah,
all you need is a slope on the hinge and it'll close.
It'll close, right. Mine doesn't.
Yeah,
because it's like some pog and pole or something.
Fancy.
And then I've got the washing machine as well in the kitchen. So I've got three sources of beeps and they're going last night. I nearly smashed up, Gav.
Dishwasher,
I was like one of those disgruntled
machine.
I was like, just
fridge.
Yes.
Did your oven beep? My oven beeps.
No, I didn't. But the alarm went off, and I did. It's the first time I've just learned to use my oven alarm.
Wow.
And I thought, what new horror is this? Do not add a fourth beep. And I was moving around like a sniffer dog.
But
I was like an audio.
Yeah.
I was sniffing with my ears.
A listener dog.
A listening dog. A hearing dog.
Yeah.
And I was going around. Going, where's it coming from? Shh. Quiet, everyone.
Yeah.
Because I've got lots of, illegals living at my house.
Sure.
I haven't at all. Okay, here we go. This is Matthew in Manchester. Just before lockdown started. Thank you very much, this is Annie Matthew. This is genius. Just before lockdown started, I managed to convince the missus to replace the dinner table with a full-sized tournament standard pool table. God, man.
Wow.
God.
I wonder how that's going.
A little bit of me, okay, I'm not being... I like you, Matthew. You're a good lad.
Yeah.
But a little bit of me is thinking that you've just done this because you're desperate to tell more people that you've got this situation. You're just desperate for people to know that you have a tournament standard pool table in you. And that's all. And that your missus has okayed it. That's all I'm saying. I like people sending me Martin's hot taps. Yeah. But I don't like just having my nose rubbed in it.
But hold on. When you've got a pool table, don't you tell people?
You do tell people. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Anyway. Yeah, we all are.
Yeah.
I mean, he's made us feel a lot of things. It's a very emotive text, this one.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, here we are 5 weeks later. Sorry, I'll carry on. I claimed it could be used as a dining table as well. No problem.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I've seen those ones, actually.
Yes, convertible ones.
And always the problem is always how you get your legs at your foot. Here we are 5 weeks later, eating off two pieces of old wood from a dismantled TV, balanced on two kitchen sponges, resting on the pool table. Just about works, but I nearly fluffed my Sunday roast by leaning on the wrong corner. Yeah, you can't eat on those. These are two of them trying to eat on a sodding pool table. Still.
That's a better ball into bulk.
Yeah, you'll try and knock that Brussels sprout just in
there. Pass the salt down.
Roast potato to bulk.
More of a safety shot there.
Yeah, safety. Just, he'll leave that bit of carrot there, or I think just under the bulk cushion. He'll probably try and come back for that bit of beef.
No, there's someone's put another pound coin on the side.
You don't have to do that with your own tables, Gavin.
No, I know.
Although, quite good if you're at home.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
If you've got examples of your DIY dodges and bodges, send us your Martin's Hot Tap to 83936, or you can email johnny@radiox.co.uk. But if you serve up opportunities for Gav and I to do cheesy snooker commentary like that, please.
Please, feel free.
Of those, please. We're enjoying those. There's only two people really in Britain finding that funny or enjoying
it.
And we're both here. No, big side step was all right as well.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Now you'll get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. And if you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. For instance, you might want to tell me the numbers of Chinese takeaways that are open at the moment.
Like a decent one.
A decent Chinese takeaway. Also, we'd love to hear more of your Martin's Hot Tap themes and stories, your tales of talking to pets, heroes of Bullshido, or any nicknames you've heard for our hunt for the world's greatest nickname. Those are regulars, yeah? They're amongst our raft of regulars.
Sure.
Hop on that raft and sail away with the 4 till 7 thing. Land ahoy!
Radio X.